magic word is no. Step on into the secret kindergarten, Saturdays 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
Syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Intuitive improvisation is the secret of genius.
I want to break free.
Oh, I see.
I put my pants on.
So?
Just like the rest of you, one leg at a time.
I guess I'll have to watch.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription... It's more Jacka.
Uh-huh.
I turned cities into salt.
Oh, okay.
You gotta come work for me.
Right. Uh-huh.
I could get you in now. You love it. Nobody tells you when to go to bed.
If you want to call in, sure.
All day. All night.
If you want to fight or you got something more important.
You eat all the ice cream you want.
I'll take that, too.
You're talking to me all wrong. It's the wrong tone.
I'm not adding all these people. I don't know all these people.
Is there anybody out there?
So, oh, I see. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm challenged.
Changing reality. With the Hijacker. Monday through Friday. 4 p.m. Eastern.
And those were the old days, folks. Welcome to the most important things, the true reality of this earth. This is an unusual program in that it deals with more of the esoteric. It's not political at all. It's not even current events. Well, sort of. This sort of is. Because now that we know, we're starting to get a timeline. With me, I got on the line is the Mad Painter and Mr. Rowe. And whenever they want to jump in and interject something, but this show is really big. So most people throughout their life, they might only have two or three what you would call a paradigm shift. Other words, something that happens fundamentally to you, which changes your whole outlook, your whole philosophy, your whole way of being, so to speak. It can happen in different ways to different people. Like if somebody gets in a car accident and it's a near-death experience, that's a paradigm shift. Or they come into some information which is like diametrically opposed to what they believe or what they thought they believed. That's a paradigm shift. And in my case, I've had several. The first one was when I was 16 and I got born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit at Jesus 75. It was in Pennsylvania, I think. That was a paradigm shift. I became a Christian. The next big one that I had was probably, in a way, it wasn't as big, but it was kind of big, is when I made my first political kill when I worked for a United States Senator as basically a consultant or an aide, actually. And I realized there was darkness in them and, you know, knowing politics and everything else, even though I'm not educated, but I just had a gift for it. And when I made my first kill and took them down, in the general, in the primary, No. I helped him win the primary. Then I found darkness in him. Then I painted my face and I went in like, you know, Martin Sheen. And I did an open letter of resignation. That was a paradigm shift. When I first drew that gun and I realized I went up against other gunslingers like myself and I was faster. I took down a big boy. That was thrilling. I think he lost by like 7,000 votes. So that was a paradigm shift. My next big one was in 1993, May Day, when I released South Carolina's declaration of open political civil war. And it had to do with strategy for contract with America, South Carolina base closures or whatever. Well, when they grabbed me illegally, just for this letter, and threw me in a mental institution, and I had five guys, I remember. They all jumped me as soon as I went in, and forced drug injections and 4 points in a mental institution. That was a paradigm shift. In fact, that almost like crushed my whole head in, my whole faith. I mean, that was tremendous. I think I'm still damaged from it. I don't know. It did something to me spiritually. So that was a big one. Of course, the contract with America, the five-pointed star oath, like a sheriff's star, which was a blueprint for retaking the U.S. House and Senate. And then Newt Gingrich basically took it, changed the name to Contract with America, went on. Of course, I got thrown in a mental institution more again. That was a paradigm shift to have such an effect on so many. But then the next one came when I was watching, and I'm just relating my paradigm shifts. You know, some people might only have two or three, some might have many. But my next big one when I was 2005, when I watched this movie Loose Change, and I realized that I was basically in the control of the Republican Party, Christian conservative, Zionist orbit. And I was basically, I was kind of a gunslinger for them. I would just show up in the middle of political races. Doesn't matter if it was a governor, a senator, congressman, figure out a strategy, a concept, an idea, and then hijack it. And usually my guy usually won by a very small margin, had very few losses. Once I jumped in, for the people who did, basically, you know, the different strategies that I gave them. And I did this up and down the East Coast. But when I saw Loose Change and I saw Building 7 come down, that was a paradigm shift. I went, oh, my God. And I realized they're both working together. I'm in a matrix. And that was a big paradigm shift. Then I got like two more, and then I'll let Ahmad Painter and Mr. Rowe interject. The next one was when I was getting on YouTube 2005, 6, 7, 8. And the first thing I saw was an anomaly. And I couldn't quite believe what I was seeing. But it was this political talking head guy. Of course, I had to keep up on the politics. And it was on, I think, the McNear News Hour. And I was watching this guy. He was talking. And all I could do was focus on his teeth. And I'm looking at his teeth. They're morphing. It's like into spikes. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, what is that? What am I looking at? Is it, he's just got bad teeth? And he's talking and it's real bad. It was like some of the early things of Ken Starr shapeshifting or what's his name? Oh, Paul McCartney, when I, you know, the different people. So then I started looking, and then I started realizing, wow, there's people out there that are just not, they're more than human. There's something else. They got like reptilian eyes. I'm seeing them shapeshift. I'm seeing tongue flicks. I'm thinking, what are these? What's going on? That paradigm shift came when Zen Garcia of Sacred Word Publishing started doing shows with me, and then he opened up and gave me like the secret piece of the puzzle that, look, hijacker, there's a serpent seed line out there. There are people of another bloodline in which they're not like us. They rule over us. And I went, wow, you mean to tell me we got, like, you know, reptilian serpent seed line, like, shapeshifters that are, like, ruling the earth, that got some kind of high technology? Some of them, I don't know if it's hologram or what. And that's all the stuff I'm seeing. Of course, all that stuff is cleaned up now. You can catch very little of that. I mean, they've YouTube and Google have really fixed those matrix. Yeah, they've really cleaned up the internet. So you can't see that. You can't see pterodactyls flying over near Hawaii. You can't see the golden days of YouTube when you could see, like, Chinese face changers, and you just saw things you just couldn't believe. A woman that could bend over like a snake backwards. I mean, you just, the people who do black magic. I mean, absolutely unbelievable of that window that we actually had. So when Zen hit me with that, and I realized, wow, that's why no matter what state I went to, what jurisdiction, I'd get my ass locked up for distributing these letters. You know, 34 times I actually kept count, 7 times in mental institutions. Then I realized, wow, now that was a paradigm shift. Then my next one came. Matt's not going to like this. I'm not going to spend too much time on it because the show's not about this. The next one came with biblical cosmology and the insane concept of the shape of the earth, and that it's not what we've been told. It's worse than that. It's like an enclosed structure. So now my mind's on fire. What? We're living in, like, an enclosed flat world with reptilian shapeshifters, serpent seed people rolling over us? I mean, you know, what am I into? Well, I'm bringing you up to my last one. My last paradigm shift, which has completely altered. It's nearly altered all of my eschatology belief structure in Christianity. Not the fundamental core of Christ being the only begotten Son of God, you know, who died for our sins, rose again. But just my whole outlook on who we are, what the real deal is. And so this paradigm shift actually came, and I'm actually going to have him as a guest on, I think, my next show. Go to understandingconspiracy.com YouTube with Paul. And he was on this thing about, and only because I already knew all this other stuff, he said that the Nephilim were clowns. Yeah, they were reptilian. They had multi different skin. They were fractal. They're on another dimension. But he was really into like the magic mushrooms and the iskwa, you know, the drink and all the rest. And so when I saw that, I said, what's this guy's, you know, YouTube about the Nephilim or clowns, you know? And he's got a whole built up doctrine. And the only reason I looked at it is because when I was 12 years old, maybe 13, but I'm thinking 12, because my whole family shattered when I was 13. My mom had died when I was 5, so we already had a mishmash type family. Anyways, my brother, my older brother, who's dead now, died of AIDS. I think he was 15. And so, yeah, I would have been 12 or 13. And he already turned me on to pot, smoking Mexican. I was already starting to steal, like, bottles of wine. You know, I was already starting to run the streets like a rat. This was in Arlington, Virginia. And this one night, he comes to me, and he had this older guy with him. Now, he was more like 18. I mean, he was not like, you know, I didn't see him quite as a man, but he wasn't a kid. He was older. And I think this was when my brother was getting into homosexuality. So I think there was something like that. But they had made this glass of tea And it's like one of these tall glasses of tea, like a 20 ounce. And my brother Chris says, you need to drink that. You're going to get a pretty good buzz. And I said, well, what is it? And I says, well, it's like, it'll like make you see colors. And, you know, it's like nothing you ever had before. And I said, well, okay, you know, being a 12-year-old big brother there with his, you know, older friend. And so I says, all right, well, and I drank about half of it and it stopped and it was really nasty. Turns out it was Jimson weed. It's called loco weed. The farmers actually pull it up. It's not even hallucinogenic. It's a poison. It's really what it is. But it causes, like what magic mushrooms do, it does it like times 10. I mean, it's like really bad what it does to you. So I drank it. And then my brother got up and went to the bathroom. And this, you know, older guy, he says, you know, if you drink it all, you get a better buzz. And I'm like a 12-year-old little mammalian. Really? Really? Okay. All right. So I drank the rest of it. I mean, and it was nasty. And so next thing I know is my brother comes back. And then this guy says, I got to go. And so he left. And then so I'm sitting down with my brother and I'm saying, so what is this stuff supposed to do? Because I feel like I almost want to puke. It's really bad. And then I move my hand across the table and I see trails. This was like maybe 5 minutes after I drunk it. And I went, wow, that's pretty neat. And then I moved my hand again and I could just see trails in my hand. And I went, wow. And I put 12-year-old kid, here I am getting ready to go on a trip of a lifetime. I'm talking, yeah, I'm talking, I'm going into the 48 hours of hell, right? I'm going into another realm, which is the reason why I gravitated to Paul when he says Nephilim are like clowns. Because then I went into it, and before 15, 20 minutes, I'm looking at my brother Chris, and he's starting to look like a werewolf. And I'm shaking my head saying, Chris, what's going on with you? And then I'm just like seeing like he is a werewolf. It's like, I don't know if everybody has like a demonic presence that represents him or overloads him. And so then I start freaking out. Well, what he's doing. And then he attacks me. And I'm thinking a werewolf is attacking me. So this is the beginning of the bad trip, right? He throws me in the bathroom and then somehow he uses a rope or whatever to where I can't pull it out. And then I'm in the bathroom and then I'm looking at my mirror in the mirror with me. And then I'm starting to change. And then I'm starting to see stuff all over. Now the trip is hot and heavy. Anyways, it didn't take me long. I don't know how strong I was, but I was able to rip myself out of that door. Family comes down, everybody's grabbing me, trying to hold me down. All I'm seeing is demonic stuff. They end up calling the cops. The cops come out. I end up throwing them a 12, 13-year-old. Like I'm freaking out at them and their colors and their uniforms. And I mean, they're turning into like, you know, big boar type of tusk people. Anyways, before it's over with, they told me six cops actually got me down on the gurney. With the medics there. I mean, it's an event. I'm in full blown bad trip psycho, right? And I'm having these people, and it's so strong. Even when they put me down with a gurney, I was able to snap, not the actual leash or the wrist thing or whatever they stuck on me. But I just remember just ripping that metal right out, you know, and then of course the cops, Frank, grab them. Anyways, they got me. The hospital, the orderlies, everybody I came across, they looked like they had boar pig heads. Everything was bright colors. I mean, it was like it was another dimension. So I'm telling you this is because this Paul that I'm going to have on, I actually just saw, you know, his idea about Nephilim are actually clowns. And then he talks about dimensions or whatever. And of course, he did a lot. And so then he was on this thing about the the thousand-year reign of Christ has come and gone, and that we are actually in the little season of Satan. And I'm talking about after the book of Revelation, after the seven-year judgment, after the mark of the beast. There's actually, you get to verse 20 in Revelation, and then I'm reading, wait a minute, Christ has his thousand-year reign, Satan is put into the pit, then after the thousand years, Christ basically withdraws New Jerusalem. Some people believe it's in the North Pole. That's where New Jerusalem is. And that Satan is released from the abyss to go up to the plane of the earth to deceive the nations, the four corners, to deceive all the nations, and basically to bring them together at the very end as a massive army. And there will be the sands of the sea, which, if anybody knows, basically the demographics of right around 1st AD, there was only, some people say, low end, 100 million people on the earth. Some people say a high end, about 270, not even 300, but whatever. But at 9 billion people, we are now. And so, and then I caught, it will be an age of deception, and he will deceive. And so deception upon deception. And so then I'm starting to research it, and I'm starting to find out about the Tartarian mud flood, about the Tartarian Empire, all these old buildings, which we can't even build now, really sophisticated stuff. And then I'm looking back through history, and with all the information I got, and then I'll let these guys weigh in. But the reason why this next paradigm shift, which affects even what I believe about Sheol, it's not hell. It's not the same thing as hell. It's a holding place where souls actually sleep, where Jesus actually came, and the promises that it actually gave those people. So I'm getting fundamental beliefs, Christian beliefs, changed. You know exactly what the Catholic Church is. But the one thing that I do know is that literally outside of mathematics, I'm to the point now to where almost everything that I believed, or that they told me about history, or the way politics works, or the way the world works, literally like almost everything, what really happened on 9/11, JFK, it doesn't matter, Civil War, it doesn't matter what you give. Because I know the secret societies and the histories, I'm now to the point to where I don't believe none of it. I'm literally, unless I've got empirical evidence, like these grand structures that are worldwide, like these old maps, these old books, even the scriptures. I'm now seeing the scriptures. What do you mean they pulled out a whole chapter from Daniel and threw it away because it talked about a white and a red dragon, like a prophecy? What do you mean they also pulled out a whole book in Esther, the last chapters? You know, what do you mean they've been moving these things around? What do you mean they changed all these names? What do you mean these are all like interpretations? And, you know, like, where's the real scripture? It's supposed to be the inherent word of God. And then now I'm finding out, even with the Mandela effect, how's all this stuff getting changed? So now I'm coming to the belief, and I'm 99% there. And the only reason I don't go 100% is I don't want people to believe me. I don't want to trip anybody up in their own faith. And so you're going to have to research it yourself. But I'm to the point now to where that's what I believe. I actually believe we are actually in the little season of Satan, where after the thousand years of Christ, Satan is released. And I even got where the fallen ones may have actually come up because they were bound by chains, by angels, into the pit, prison. And then right in the end, they will be released and they will come up on the earth. I think that's what all of those, if you ever take a look at Siberia, you'll see these massive, it looks like the earth was hit with hundreds, no, thousands of these giant asteroids or whatever, because you see these craters. And I'm thinking, are all of those like the fallen ones that were now are allowed to get out of the pit, and they all came up? You have to take a look at it. It looks like a bombscape. Go to Google and take a look at like Siberia up towards northern near the Arctic, and you'll see the landscape. It's just not natural. It's otherworldly. But my point is that now I'm down to, all righty, I got lied to about everything. So now everything is on the table, like Mr. Rowe said. Now everything is on the table. We don't know what. So, Ahmad, Mr. Rowe, are you all to the point? Are you as cynical as I am, or do you still attach that what we're told in history and the way things go? I mean, you all talk for a few minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm pretty cynical on stuff. You know, interesting. You talk about paradigm shifts, and you know, I grew up in the Bay Area in the, well, we'll say the late 80s and the early 90s, when the there were some pretty long psychedelic tentacles, you know, and excuse me, I was introduced to things like Salvia Divinorum, and you know, I knew Robert Anton Wilson, and he told me about the Illuminati, and I learned about the reptilian shape-shifting during this time of transition into adulthood and experimenting in the psychedelic scene, which was very paradigm-shifting. And at one point, you know, I went to a fair share of rainbow gatherings and danced around the fire with the bongo drums and had some interesting revelations. And at one time, there was this sort of fractal spinning into the abyss that I kind of did, and I saw on the other side of the curtain of reality what appeared to be, I wouldn't call them machine elves, the DMT, that's something different, but clown looking characters, like if you ever saw that comic book, the fabulous furry Freak Brothers, it's kind of like psychedelic clown like. It was like a panel, a judgment panel, and they were kind of congratulating me for peeking through. And the moment I had this sort of pride to myself, like, oh, I can see you, I can see you, they kind of like went, well, time to send you back, and I kind of snapped back into reality. But during that time, you know, there was a paradigm break for me, that I just looked at things a lot differently. And there was kind of a gradual transition. And then another paradigm shift for me, I think, was when I returned from Europe. Because when I left, it was right around 9/11. And I left more or less a analog world transitioning into a digital world. And then I did my own life over there in Europe for a while, and was detached from the American bubble. And then I came back, and things were a little bit different, you know. And then later on, you notice the sun isn't so yellow anymore, and there are subtle changes, and that's that whole Mandela effect. And you can't quite put your finger on what it is, but something's not quite right. And one thing that really kind of always stuck with me was I remember noticing when they changed the logos for the U.S. military. I don't know if you remember, but back in the early 80s, like the Air Force, for example, and the Navy had these more artistic, old school kind of logos. Then the modern ones are more minimal, brutalist, you know, straight lines, kind of like the symbolism of going from analog to digital. And that just something about that when I first, that was like the first thing I noticed. I'm like, why did they change all these logos? There's something about that. And you know, it just, I still can't quite, maybe it doesn't, maybe it's nothing, maybe it's me. But just that's always stuck with me. So there's a few other little minor things, but yeah, this is a very different world or reality from the one that I quote unquote grew up in. So that's all I got to say about that. Amen.
Yeah, I remember that too. They took the American flag that was one way on a soldier's shoulder four in the front, and they reversed it, so it's like actually backwards.
And they're saying, well, it's like to symbolize the wind, it's blowing, you know, the wind or whatever. It, I don't know, it just doesn't look right. There's just these little subtle changes. And
right,
are they,
if you actually take a look at all the medals that we actually give our military people, they all got their roots. There's one guy that all he does is medals, like, you know, the Silver Star and the Gold Star. And, you know, he breaks down the Congressional Medal of Honor and he shows all the Luciferian stuff in that. And then you got, you know, Republicans, you would think they would be the color blue because, you know, they're more patriotic, where the Democrats should be more red, like, you know, communist, but they flipped that.
Yeah,
and then they got the stars.
The stars flipped inverted also. That's true.
Yeah, elephant. They got the five stars, and they were right in the beginning. But now they're
pointing down. Yeah.
Yeah, at one point they decided to point them down, so it made a pentagram. How about you, Ahmad? Any paradigm shifts to where you went like, oh my God, they're all in on it? I mean, was it 9/11 for you? Where did you get your head racked?
The military. I realized the way stuff was run. But, they don't do things the right way. The military industrial complex is a separate entity from any government. They can do damn well what they want, one way or another. All I have to do is say, you know, national security.
That's the black world, and it does not exist.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done things for the government that I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Oh, I see. So you woke up once you got in the inside and you realized, wait a minute, this world is not run the way, you know.
No, so it isn't.
That was a very good point, amen.
I mean, yeah. you can wake up and believe every day that we haven't started stuff over there in Ukraine, but I guarantee you we're the ones that done it.
Yeah, there's I keep up with this guy, Matthew Ho, courageous, good thinker, and he was mentioning, or maybe it was Larry Johnson. I think maybe Larry Johnson. Anyways, he was saying he was watching footage of the retreat from Avdiivka, that's the big stronghold, the number one stronghold of the Ukrainians that fell to the Russians, and it basically collapsed like a tin can.
Yeah.
Anyways, he says he was watching all these guys running for their life, you know, scared out of their head, because it's total confusion, total chaos. I think the Ukrainian government finally says, okay, retreat, after most of the soldiers were already all running. I mean, hundreds of them. But Larry Johnson says he's watching it for a fleeting moment. He sees this one guy run by, and on his helmet, guess what he sees? And he's a former Marine. He sees an American flag, and he realizes, wow, that's an American soldier on the front line in the Ukraine running for his life.
What, was it a or maybe it was a mercenary? I don't know. I wasn't there, but it could have been a mercenary.
Well, he says what they're doing is
they started this. It's called color war, and they go in there and they manipulate things around to where it becomes war, regardless of what they did. And they know what they're doing. They've been doing it for you know, 60 years in different countries. They've done it in Africa. Third part of you, that shit in Africa is going on.
Yeah.
That's really where we ought to be, is in Africa. We shouldn't be in the Middle East. We should be taking care of them small countries along the Ivory Coast that has 14-year-olds carrying guns.
Well, first we need to be on the southern border. You know, hey, real quick, you know, you were talking about those craters, and I was talking about those, I think, on one of my shows that, you know, if you overlay that old map of the world, you know, the one that was from like 14 something, and it shows Tartaria in a very different world. There's a lot of that area is full of those elaborate cities that, you know, the names have been long forgotten. And so that's very interesting that I've heard about that also, that there's speculation that it was some sort of space weapon or whatnot that just wreaked havoc on that whole area that is now Siberia. And of course, what is Siberia now? It's wild. It's overgrown. There's nothing there. You know, they literally at some point bombed it back to the Stone Age. I was watching I don't know how it come on my screen, but I was watching this Chinese YouTube channel, and it was translated into English from Chinese, and it was not a very good translation. You know, like the little grasshopper goes through the entrance, but it showed these caves in China, and these guys went like deep in them, and they've been there. They're like old. There's old caves are huge, and they've got these walkways, and the locals have known about them. And you know, they say, yeah, you know, they lead into the underworld. And you just kind of reminded me when you talked about shoal, you know, because that's shale, S-H-E-O-L, you know, it's about the afterlife and a very quiet place. The in between, but and it is supposed to be in the underworld. So anyway,
right, and it's different. Some say that Sheol, however you say it, Hades and Hell are all actually three different places. And here is one of the paradigm shifts that I've had, and it's because it's in these scriptures in Revelation 20, but a very strange scripture in which. None of the preachers, nobody have heard, they actually skip over stuff. That's the other thing I'm finding out. I've been deceived. All these different scriptures about Jesus says before some of you will not taste death before you see the Son of God come in his kingdom on the clouds, telling the people the people that pierced me, they will witness me coming in the clouds. I mean, one scripture after another. Turns out all these preachers and everybody skips over this, and they just so, you know, the eschatology of the end times and the mark of the beast, and they just push it. But the strange scripture I have to pull up Revelation 20 and actually read it to you, but to paraphrase it, and it says, and the dead that are will not live again until the 1,000-year reign of Christ is over. And then there will be what they would call a resurrection, like of the spirit, not quite reincarnation, but close. And then I found out through this was Understanding Conspiracy 2. He just did a big show with this other guy who's really into, you know, the little season of Satan, as it's starting to be called now, where we're in the age of deception. Everything's a deception. But he says that there are three types of people. The wicked people, other words, the people that were really, really wicked, the story of Lazarus, they actually went to hell, you know, where the rich man says, well, just dip your finger in water, that may be relieved. And then if you won't do that, at least send somebody back and tell my brothers that this place is here. So they don't do the same thing I did. So he's still got some humanity, at least for his family, right? But there's a great chasm. But Sheol is different. That's a place where the righteous, including the prophets, David, all the rest, they actually were there. The witches of Endor. when Saul was trying to figure out whether he was going to win a battle or not, he went to the witches of Endor and says, go wake Elijah up. You all know how to do all that black magic crap. Tell me what's about to happen. And of course, Isaiah, he gets awoken and he goes, well, what are you waking me up for? Who are you? Anyways, it turns out that it's for the righteous and the place of sinners. Well, when Jesus was crucified, they say for 3 days, 3 nights, he went to what you would call Sheol, the belly, which is in the earth. And it says that in another book, maybe the Book of Thomas or whatever, that when Jesus entered, that all the people in Sheol, both the righteous, the prophets, David, and the sinners, who were in like a semi-sleep, what they call a soul sleep, they looked and a bright light came upon them and they cried out, Son of David, save us, get us. And Jesus was probably 400 or 500 foot tall, or they would have ganged him. Literally millions of people. Get us out of here. Well, the only ones he took, turns out, is he took the righteous, the prophets, the ones that had believed in him and had died, and the ones that, according to like the Old Testament, were worthy. They were already in on it. They believed in him. No problem. In fact, it says that the graves opened and there was more than 500 witnesses of people that had been, they were in a type of glorified body. They were different. They weren't allowed to interact with them, or even communicate. But, that was basically Jesus' resurrection. And then he led the captives to heaven. But what he did with the sinners, and now I'm getting to who I think we are the ones that were sinners. We weren't the really evil people. We were just, you know, your common, you know, common man, that never got a chance to actually hear the gospel. We did die. Our judgment was, because it says that when Jesus went there, he proclaimed good news to them. Well, what good news did he proclaim to the sinners? Because if all they had to do is, you know, imagine you're a sinner, all right? You had a problem with the other people's wives, you know, and you were in Sheol. And he goes, the good news is, if you believe in me, he said, and you'll be saved. What are you going to say? You're going to say, yeah, I'm all in it. Get me out of here. I believe you. I believe you. I don't think those were the rules. I think that Jesus said to him, look, you're going to get another shot. And some of you, depending on what era you're born in, you're going to get more than one shot, but you are going to get a clean shot. Because if you think about it, the gospel is known throughout the whole earth. It doesn't matter if you're
now
it is. That's what I'm saying. That's why we're in the little season. Everybody has access to the story of Jesus and what the deal is. But I think
I don't buy this little season stuff that you're preaching there.
What's not a deception?
Personally, where is all the proof of the mark of the beast on any group of people?
No, the mark of the beast has already come. Did you know, imagine?
Where? Show me in history where it says everybody in the world had that mark on them.
That is the point. The point is, if we are in the little season of Satan, and Satan went up to deceive, that means no matter what you hear in history, what angle that you get, you can't believe it. They had whole scribes. You got to mute my mad pain. You're coughing a lot.
I can. I'm outside.
Oh, anyways, they had whole scribes, whole friars, monks rewriting everything. We now know they had.
We would still
we would still find some evidence of it.
Well, you know, actually,
and if you follow, the Revelations, it talks about the Euphrates drying up. What's happening right now?
Well, that's because we are in the little season of Satan. He's actually replaying the
thing. You're jumping things out of timeline.
No, what I'm saying is this is the great deception. There's maybe 1% of Christians that actually believe what I'm believing.
Where's the Antichrist then?
The Antichrist was Nero. It says it right there. If you actually go back and look in the book of Revelation, it was 616. It wasn't 666. Did you know that they put tattoos? Every Roman soldier was tattooed. Did you know that? They had a tattoo on them. So that if they ran away or escaped, then the authorities could actually
say, "You're to any slave."
What's that?
They did. They tattooed just about any slave.
The slaves were tattooed too. And guess where their tattoos were? Guess what happens if a slave ran away? Guess where they got tattooed? On their forehead.
Place. It depends on where you got tattooed. You know who done it.
Right. Majority of them were on the hand. But if you ran away, or if you were a Roman soldier and you ran away and they found out, then they put the tattoo on your forehead.
Yeah, I still don't see that Christ has already come the second time, because the Jews are still waiting for him to come the first time.
But we know they're not Jews. They're of the Khazarian Empire.
They're the name stealers.
Yeah, no. No. And then you got to deconstruct. If Christ's kingdom actually came back, what would it actually look like? Well, you got to stop and you think, and this is why I take it from a geopolitical angle, in which that's what I'm going to do with Paul of Understanding Conspiracy. And I think, Mr. Rowe, if you're open on Friday at noon, it'll be pre-recorded.
Yeah. Yeah, that should be fun. And if you guys have video and stuff you want to use too, I'll record that video, and so we can have that as if you guys want to use visual aids and whatnot. But I gotta say, there's a lot of evidence to support what you're saying, and if you look at it logically, just as how evil has appeared to have been let loose on this earth right now. We've been in a perpetual state of war. We appear to be devolving as a species collectively. Things like war and, even in mainstream society, pedophilia or borderline pedophilia is now being sanctioned by
child
government
mutilation.
State entities. Absolutely. Everything is inverted. So
everything.
If you take a abstract, just sort of view of everything, it's logic.
Well, that's the 1,000 years that he's ruling the earth.
There are literal crimes against nature. Like, we're born into this world, even animals, with certain instinctual traits. And certain things are like certain crimes against nature we instinctually know. Nobody has to tell us, certain things not to do. Repulsive acts are being done and sanctioned. Like, nowhere in nature do mothers rejoice when they kill their own offspring, for one example. And, we have people that have this sort of sick fetish in certain aspects. People that don't, they mock the creation, whether you want to believe in a creator or a divine entity or not. They mock nature by saying, no, I'm going to change what.
Well, they think they're gods or masters of nature.
And it goes from the very top levels of science, where they're trying to work with genetic level DNA and, inject people with a bunch of stuff to change them, all the way down to the guy that says, I got to chop off my hoo-hoo because I'm a she. Call me Debbie. And so, if that makes any sense, I don't know.
See, that's mental illness. That's,
and it's being sanctioned.
And that has a lot.
Right.
That has a lot to do with what we eat.
So what does that speak of the times that we're living in?
Well, it's
a mad painter. I mean, you should rejoice at this, because that means that me, you, Mr. Rowe, And a lot of us, most of us, we were the leftover shit left in Seoul that basically says, yeah, I'm going to give you a second chance. You're going to get a memory wipe and you're going to be born in a special day of grace. But you're going to have to go through the fire. And the fire is Satan being released.
Fire if you're going to wipe your memory.
I personally don't think that it's as cut and dry as, you know, this is the final, like, saving grace lifetime or whatnot. I think that we may all have millions, if not more, billions to live. You know, there's a
Buddhist that's the reincarnation term. Angle. What this angle is that a person...
I don't know that bit.
Well, it's the spirit living another lifetime. It's the spirit experiencing more over and over and over again, because practice makes perfect. You don't become a ninja or a something overnight. You know, you don't become a professional boxer or a kickboxer because there's something like you have to train to get muscle memory. You have to train. You have to, you know, if you want to learn new skills, you have to train your brain in a lot of things. You don't learn algebra in one day. Who's to say that we're going to learn how to be good spirits and good souls or whatever we ultimately are by one lifetime experience?
Well, that is the point of the good news, is that at some point, it doesn't matter if you're intellectual genius or you're a poor person in a village that doesn't have anything and it's got an IQ of 70 in Thailand or Laos or wherever. The fact is, when you get to the point of where you accept the sovereignty of God and you reject the evil way, then you get a new spirit. That is when you actually become an eternal being. You don't need a million lifetimes to get to that point. You just need one straight up chance to actually see what the truth is and then make your free will decision. Yeah, this is the way I'm going to go with God, God's laws, and I'm going to reject the evil way, or I'm going to go the selfish way. Go ahead.
My view of God's completely different than yours. I do believe that we all are a slice of God. God experienced everything all at one time. So he created time and us in order to experience things in a singular manner, in a linear form.
Do you believe that the creator of all things is the same creator of you, or do you think that you were engineered? Like I was listening to this long kind of Anunnaki kind of story from, I think it was one of the books of Enki. And they talk about, and what they described was basically taking the Bigfoot
genetics
that
was
walking around the planet and intermingling some DNA from them and creating humans.
Well, who's to say he didn't do it that way? Or he did it through evolution. Source.
The creator of all things, right? That's completely different, right? Than, let's say, a demigod.
He's behind it.
Or an entity that creates life from something else.
He got into that entity and
There are passages in the Bible that talk about, multiple gods. And, you know, there's one that's a jealous god. And there's parallel stories about, you know, the flood and the deluge and the fight that the gods had, you know, and the destruction that was caused in our wake, and what the moon was used for, and
what we call gods in that book may not necessarily be gods.
Exactly. So I think that a lot of stuff has been convoluted. Old history of past civilizations have been recorded as best they could, and then of course lost in the translation many things, but also simplified into a version for the masses that we call our modern day holy books, whether it's the Bible, some other, the Quran, or whatever book you're, you know, following. Even in some of the Vedic texts and the Hindu beliefs, they have parallels
way older than the Bible.
Yeah, and so I think
that's what they say. That's what they say. But now somebody's come out and says, you know what? The Chinese civilization, it's not more than 1,400 years old. It's all one big lie, 5,000-year-old ancient civilization.
Yeah, and it's interesting how these parallels equal what we're questioning now. You know, we look at things with a cynical eye, and if one aspect is up for investigation, let's say, then that means everything is up for investigation. Again, nothing's off the table. You have to rethink the whole effing kit and caboodle.
Yeah. Right. Even with the Great Wall of China, all the different things they said about it, you know, they started building it, you know, 500 BC, and it took them all the way up till like 1620 to finish it, and all these different Ming Dynasty, and it was the Kaks, and then it was the Tartars, and you take a look at, you know, how it's built. It's not built, you know, north to south. It's actually built actually along one of the original borders of Russia and China. And, you know, you take a look at it. Well, that's not the buildings like we see, where these grand, incredible Greco-Roman Gothic type structures or whatever. It's a fairly simple. Men creatures could do it. But, you know, why didn't, when Christ was as 1,000-year rule, you know, Thomas, who was over the region, he says, look, you got this one Chinese emperor. He's complaining because you got these other people, these Tartars, and they keep stealing from one another, and they can't get along. They're stealing.
They built a wall. There are old pictures, right, of Peking, not just the Great Wall of China, but the city of Peking was divided in half with a Tartar wall. And they had the Tartar side on one side and the Chinese side was on the other, because they hated each other that much.
And why couldn't Jesus come up with a jobs program? Look, I got all the gold. I'll tell you what. Tell the Tartars, tell the Chinese, you don't got to steal. I'm gonna fund this wall. It's going to separate you. You're going to be able to do commerce. You all got a job. You got the money you need. And you're just not that developed. I understand. Here's a jobs program. Anyways, we'll be right back.
Natural Law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Mountain High Time, 2 hours of an organization to the madness, discussing the ever-changing dynamics of being both physically and mentally prepared for a plethora of possible outcomes to our future and present. A look into the latest technologies, new scientific discoveries, and how they might be used in connection to the human domain and controlling it, ancient cultures and places. Be warned. This is an opinionated look through headlines. Guests that are not afraid to question the narrative. A little bit of crazy ramblings of a stoner conspiracy factist that pushes constitutional concepts. The place and the time are the same, another dimension we call Mountain High Time. Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Mountain High Time. Right here on Revolution.radio, where information never sleeps and truth breaks the spell.
Thank you. Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Hey, Revolution Radio family. It's time to revolutionize our sound and reach. We're on a mission to enhance your listening experience, and we need your help. We're raising funds for a brand new stream server. This isn't just any server. It's a key to unlocking crystal clear broadcasts and seamless streams across multiple platforms. Imagine the voices and stories we can share, the connections we can forge, without a glitch in sight, but to make your stream a reality. We're calling on you, our amazing community. Every donation, big or small, brings us closer to a world of uninterrupted revolutionary radio. Join us, contribute today, and let's build the future of Revolution Radio together.
All right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now, we're going to get back to your host.
Okay, welcome back, folks. Welcome back. I'm the Hijacker. You're listening to The Most Important Things, The True Reality of This Earth. I think it would be like episode 3. I don't know if I'm going to make one episode after another like that. But for now, and I'm on with a Mad Painter, the station manager, and Mr. Rowe, who's also like a co-station manager. He's sort of the webmaster IT guy, which, by the way, this is listener supported. So unless you actually give some money, then we're not going to be on the air. And I think the last I looked, we were up to $900 some dollars out of the 2000 we need to raise, or 2500. I don't know. I'm not in management. I don't do the business end, but I know we need funds. Also, if you want to be a host, if you want your own show, get a hold of, now, that's somebody else's department. I think
Suri Sunflower in chat. And just to let everybody know, by the way, Monster is the webmaster, but I am the network guy. We are raising money for a streaming server. We put it out there that we have a system that we've tested that is sound, and we had enough response from hosts that are very interested in it. So we're moving on to say, okay, we will build it, and now we need your help to make it happen. So we are trying to raise roughly $1,300 for the streaming server, give or take. And once we have that, which is separate from our monthly donation goal, then we'll go ahead and build the server, and we'll implement the live stream service, which will go out to minimal at least 6 simultaneous streams. We're going to also have windows on our webpage that will stream no matter what, live. And then we'll provide on the Hawk's Nest probably even a stream for some additional content. And we have several phases involved. So phase one, of course, is building the server and getting it online. And then we'll move on to phase two, which we've got some exciting things planned. So just to let anybody know, if you'd like to donate, come to revolution.radio, and in the donation somewhere there's probably a note where you can just put for server or streamer or whatever, so we know. And thank you in advance, and we'll truck on down the road. Back to you.
Yeah, and also let the management know if you want more of this content. Now, I know this is going to create a civil war among the Christian Orthodox and Christian Protestants because this subject is just coming into view. It's only like 1%, maybe, of Christians that would even think that what I'm saying could be true. I would be considered a heretic, saying that Ahmad, me, Mr. Rowe, most of us, this is all our second or maybe third, fourth chance to actually find out what the truth is. That we were the undead that are now being born during Satan's little season, which I think is an age of grace. Actually, I think it's purgatory. If you want to know the truth, I think what the Catholics have been preaching about purgatory, I think we're actually in that age right now. But anyways, so if you want more of it, throw some money in saying I support the Hijacker Show. And, you know, I've done many, many shows on, Revolution Radio for it's a whole existence, which I think is like 11 years. Matt, how old are we? You would know. What, 10, 11?
We're working on 14 now.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, you haven't been around for the whole time, Hijacker, but pretty close.
I've been around since 3 months in. I remember March, and I think Nighthawk kicked it off right in the beginning of December. And
I first heard you, Jacker, when you were doing a show with Crow. You used to do like around noontime. You do the last half hour or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I did shows with Crow, with Zen. Also, that opening that you hear with Christopher Walken. Is it Christopher Walken?
That's, Christopher Walken.
Yeah, that's who it was.
That was Tones. That was Joe Tones. And he was around. He did a lot of work for Revolution Radio, both on the IT side, bumpers, that type of thing. He's moved on. I think he's got a family now. And I think he's just like... I think he went the way of Bitcoin, Mr. Rowe. He just said, "The hell with all of you." You know.
Yeah. I didn't know Tones when he was with the station as management, but he came back after Hawk passed.
Yeah.
And we hit it off pretty good, and we did some crypto stuff together. And so for a brief time, Joe was kind of back as a de facto member of management, helping behind the scenes. He helped out. Build some we had cloud servers for a while and stuff like that, so Joe's got a family life, so he went off to live life.
I mean, because traffic and the stuff that we're dealing with, it is darkness. It's really all we're dealing with. We're just groping around in the dark trying to figure out what's going on. So speaking of which, so Ahmad, this is the reason why I think that Christ's kingdom has come and gone, the 1,000 year. Here is some of the evidence for it. Now, I got all these notes here. I've probably got 70 pages now. So I'm not really doing the show that I thought I was going to do tonight. But anyways, let me just hit you with this, since you are the skeptic. Which, by the way, basically what you and Mr. Rowe believe, it's sort of a New Age Gnostic Christ consciousness type of what you would call New Age Christ consciousness type thing. But that's not what I wanted to hit you with. Okay, wait a minute. Before I hit you with this, Ahmad, what's happened here, Mr. Rowe? Something's happened.
Oh, just say hey to Dan the Man. How you doing, Dan?
Is that Dan the Man? Yeah. Okay, Dan the Man, welcome.
Yes, my fellow 50s. I wish I could make a donation of a large amount, but I'm having a pretty rough. If the $10 could get me around the world, I couldn't get out of sight. But I hope you and your families are all healthy and have good health protection label.
Well, it sounds like you're doing better with your stroke. Damn,
bless
man.
Bless you. Bless you.
That's
for your
my spirit. Prayers. When I say my prayers, it takes 40 minutes. So it strengthens my vocal cords.
You pray the rosary?
Well, you said about purgatory. No, not rosary. I have a picture of Mother Mary and Jesus. I believe in Mother Mary and Jesus of Nazareth. God is not in my favor. How? What you said about purgatory? I believe that's where we're at. I'm so worried. When you have children and grandchildren and you see what's going on in this country right now, I do nothing but worry.
Yeah, well, the good news, listen, Dan the Man, the good news is if we are in the little season of Satan, basically it confirms a promise. Because when Jesus went to Sheol, where the sinners were at, people like Ahmad, myself, Mr. Rowe, we were all the ones that got a second chance. He says, you will get up a straight up chance. He is righteous. So God will give each individual created spirit, even if he's got to spend a couple of lifetimes, you know, some people are not going to get a straight up chance. An Iraqi that, you know, was Muslim, and then all of a sudden the Christian horned one, the ones with horns like George Bush and you know, the generals, and they say, we're Christians, we love you, and then bomb your water center, blow up your family, blow up your wedding party. Do you think they're going to come to Christ? No way. They're going to say, that's an evil religion, because they've been deceived. And so they're going to get a straight up chance. If they got to go another life, they're going to get their straight up chance. Everybody is going to get it. So don't worry, Dan the Man. God is righteous. You'll get it. Your children will get it. This is this little season of Satan. I think it's a special age of grace. I think the Catholics hit on it, that we are actually in purgatory, because we're all tormented. We all have bad stuff to happen to us. We go through the fire. This life, for a person that wants to live right and honorable and righteous, it's a natural, I don't know what it is about this duality, but you got to actually self-sacrifice and do what's right, even if it harms your own personal self-interest. So, yeah, I wouldn't worry about that, Dan, man.
Let me ask you a question. Who said that the synagogue is the church of the devil? Who says that?
No, you're talking about John the Revelator, right?
No. Who said the synagogue is the church of the devil? I'll tell you who. Jesus said that.
Yeah, he said, you're father of the devil. He called him, you board of vipers. You're reptilian shape shifters. Take that spiked eyed log out of your own eye. That little reptilian eye you got, get rid of that. You got a log in your eye. You need to get some pupils here. You need to be a real person. So, yeah. And he even said they could be saved, because they came to him. A couple of them were waking up. Wait a minute. Who is this guy? And Jesus was actually angry. He says, who told you to flee from the wrath to come? How did you figure it out?
Revelation.
How did you guys figure out exactly who I was? Then he was good, Mr. Rowe.
Revelation 2:8. I know your affliction and your poverty, even though you are rich. I know the slander on the part of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. That's Revelation 2:8-9.
Yeah. And that's what
I love you, Mr. Rowe. I love you so much. You're a good man. And so is Jacka. Jacka is very smart. Jacka, you said it right. in this election that was stolen. Why Trump didn't declare martial law and 2 weeks down the road have a new election, one day, 24 hours, and have the results in. Yeah. Why didn't that happen?
Dan, I'll tell you why. And then after I answer it, I want to get on to this other thing because I'm going to hit a mad. I'm after a mad soul right now. I'm on the, like a hound dog. I'm on the hunt. And I think I got something I can push him. But anyway, so the reason why Trump didn't do it, and he had the power. He could have locked up those ballot boxes. Sidney Powell was advising him. Lynn Wood. Anyways, what's come out in the last day or two is that they had a court case. First off, Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood, and about eight others that were a part of Trump's legal team. They actually pled out in Georgia. They didn't go to trial. They actually pled out guilty in Georgia. They did not fight. These are some of the like the smartest lawyers, right? That supposedly we had. They were the ones advising Trump, you got all this type of executive power. You can lock those ballot boxes up. This is a national security issue. Anyways, here's the story. So the Supreme Court, they now said that this case that Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood, and all these lawyers, that they got to pay the bill. In other words, when they pleaded guilty in Georgia and they agreed to testify against Trump, that they've got to actually pay the fine. And I think Lynn Wood, I don't think he can practice law again. Sidney Powell, she was luckier. She can't practice law for 5 years, something like that. But here's the story. A family member of a friend. Now, this is third party, so you got to take a grain of salt. So it's like a sister of another sister. But this sister is actually personal friends with Sidney Powell. She actually told this to her sister. So it's a friend of Sidney Powell that said to her sister or her brother, it was a sibling. They ask her, why? Why didn't you fight it? Why didn't you're a lawyer. You knew when you went into this thing that you could beat him. Sidney Powell told this friend of the sister, which related to their sibling. She said, Sidney Powell told me that when she realized that 22 states that all had grievances against the elections being ripped off in each one of their states, when they saw that the Supreme Court said that they had no standing and they watched what happened with Hunter Biden's laptop, with the FBI, with what's going on with the CIA, with the open criminality, the Sidney Powell told this sister friend, look, all I can do now is extract myself from this situation and to live the best I can, because these people are so crazy that they'll throw anybody in jail, literally. And so
evil.
Right, evil. And so you got one of the greatest legal minds that could have went up against them, and they didn't even draw. Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood did not even draw their pistol. They went ahead and says, what's the deal you're offering me? You can't practice law for 5 years and you got to pay $700,000. Okay. All right. Now, what would make these people do that? It's because they know we're in the age of deception, no law, lawlessness. They fully know what the deal is. In fact, they're probably of the serpent seed line too. They're Freemasons probably too. They probably know what the score is and they just cashed out. And so, anyways, Dan the Man, thanks for calling so much. And as far as Mr. Rowe being a favorite of yours, I've talked to many a host, and especially Zen. Zen loves Mr. Rowe. There's a lot of people that do. He's got that quality to him. So, yeah, he's well
loved. You too, Jasper. You too. I love you too.
I'm like like bittersweet, you know, like chili powder.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a little hot. Mm. You're a little bitter. I'm acquired taste. Anyways, thanks, Dan, the man. God bless you.
All right. I will talk to you fellas next week, I hope. And in the meantime, may you and your families have good health, safety, and protection from evil. And thank you for letting me on.
You're welcome.
And help. Yeah. God bless all of you.
Yeah, in Jesus Yeshua's name, amen. That's a prayer. Thank you so much, Dan. Dan the man.
Okay, guys. Never say goodbye. One of the Smokey Robinson, my favorite Motown. What's so good about goodbye? All it does is make you cry. So you never say goodbye. You say, see you. So I'll say to my friend, my patriots, see you.
Okay, see you, Dan. Yeah, I've tried to say goodbye on Revolution Radio about 10,000 times. I got the all-time record. A mad painter. From what you know in the history, has there ever been a time? Now think about what I'm asking. Is Dan the man gone? Has he dropped?
No, I'm still here. I'm still here.
Okay, well, you got to mute. Can you? You got to get dropped, I think, or we're gonna keep hearing you.
Okay, so I'll shut it off. God bless all.
No, it's not that. If you have the open mic, then when we talk, we get the echo. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm sorry, I don't have any other equipment.
You
know, so best try to hang up.
Okay. Yeah. I guess so. Yeah.
See you.
Okay, Dan the man. God bless. Call back anytime.
God bless you. Okay. See you.
All right. So, a mad painter. Here's the question. From what you know, has there been any time in history? Now think about this. In the history that you know, that's traditionally known, where one part of man or another part or all parts of mankind, civilization, have been at conflict and war. Can you think of when we've had a continual peace? You know, like when the Romans went in Germania, and then, you know, they had that old war, and then they went into Africa. Can you think of any large?
I once read that in the period of history of civilized man, there's only been a period of 7 years when there wasn't a war. And that's not all at one time either. That's collected. So
right, good.
We are a war species.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so you and I both know that men creatures left to their own kind, one way or another, we're gonna fight. We're going to rip each other's girlfriends off or money or cars or horses.
Well, I can give you an example. You put 10 people in a room, leave for 2 hours, and they'll gravitate into groups.
Yeah, Nighthawk talked about that famous footage of the kindergartners. Did you hear about that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
So it was all the kindergartners. And they went out there, and then, so they gave them a ball, like a soccer ball. And so they all started kicking the ball around. And before it was too long, it was the boys basically taking the ball away from the girls. And so that was the first kind of division. So then they gave the girls the ball. And so they started kicking around. It was black and white. It was a black and white type thing. Black children, white children. So they gave them another ball. And then all of a sudden, they started to pack up to where it was the blacks and the whites that separated. And then, like, the whites took the ball or the blacks took the ball. And so
you both are old enough to remember the movie Lord of the Flies, the original one. Remember?
Right, right.
Kind of like that, yeah.
Right. So anyways, my point is, Mad, is that you can't find. But here is your problem. And this is a big, big problem you got from saying that this thousand-year reign of Christ didn't happen, is that we have all of the old maps. We're talking about before Antarctica froze up. There was actually civilizations on it. We have thousands and thousands of cities built out, Greco-Roman Gothic type of castles, cities throughout Africa, Antarctica. We even have land bridges that actually go up to the Arctic before the Arctic was frozen over. We've got cities all over North America, Russia, Europe, China, Japan, everywhere. They have got the same type of buildings or infrastructure that's been built out. Furthermore, we got canals everywhere. We have the Suez Canal that turns out that was filled in. We have the C&O Canal, the Lawrence Canal, the Great Chinese Canal. We've got the Panama Canal. We have star forts that are everywhere. We have a period of time in which so much energy was built out, literally building out the whole earth. We have the Great Plains, which should be full of trees, which is nothing but farmland. We got the Ukraine, which should be full of trees, but it's farmland. Vast parts of Russia. We have a whole infrastructure that I believe that Jesus's mission, Yeshua's mission, was not only to spiritually save man, but then to set his kingdom up, right the world, build the infrastructure out so that man could survive, so we could actually get to the point to where the last pieces of shit of humanity like us that are on the call right now would actually get a chance. Mankind wouldn't even have made it to this point if the whole infrastructure was not built out. Canals, star forts, castles, just everything. Some people even believe the railroads were built at, were dug out. There's pictures of railroads being dug out. So we have this, and that can only be accomplished if we had a worldwide thousand-year reign of pretty much peace, prosperity, no scarcity, to where you had Jesus when he showed up and he knew Satan's little kingdom was come. He's going to say, well, I know they're going to go after the books. They're going to get all the books. They're going to capture the church, put them in the Vatican, 50 miles of books in the Vatican. They're going to steal all that. They're going to steal all the Bibles. But what they can't do is I'm going to set up a witness that I was here and my kingdom was here by building out all of these incredible buildings, these cities, these infrastructures, these canals, the whole works, in which that will be a testament that I was here. And that's why, for instance, like King Henry VIII, when he came on the scene, he destroyed 800 cathedrals just in England. He was a nut, ripped the buildings down. And what have we seen? One war after another war, ripped the buildings down, ripped the tops off, repurpose them, you know, wherever they could. Rip, bomb, cut down, burn, whatever. And so how do you account for the old maps and all of these structures that we're actually digging out of the mud, Ahmad? How do you account for
it? Let me answer one.
If they were at war, go ahead.
If you'd let me answer one or two of these blank statements that you're making, In the first place, we've never found anything down in Antarctica that resembles a star fort or a civilization that we know of.
Oh, Rents, listen, Rents posted arches.
Well, because he posted it doesn't make it so.
No, this stuff came from Antarctica. We've got Antarctica.
No, there's a picture of a mountain down there that kind of resembles a pyramid. I've seen it.
Well, we won't know if we're in Satan's little pyramid. They're going to cover that up. That's the point. The point is the stuff that you think that you know. Why won't they let people go to Antarctica?
What it is the fact that the stuff that you believe without taking any other considerations, I believe us as a civilization has made it to this point in technology and beyond several times in the past. But we keep knocking ourselves back to the Stone Age.
Well, I actually got an answer for that one. So, Ahmad, you know about Tesla, right? We all got the knowledge. We all know. We all know the old world. We could see the telegraph poles that were set up, which some of them weren't even wires among. They weren't wire to wire. They looks like they transmitted.
He could transmit electricity through the airwaves. We know this.
So think about this. So you've seen the northern lights, right? The orangish, greenish, reddish type of lights, right? So when Christ ruled from New Jerusalem, which was above the Arctic, in other words, the floating city, New Jerusalem, and he ruled in all his glory. Could not have those green lights, which, by the way, it actually talks about in Enoch, that the glow above the glory of God were these greenish, purplish, reddish, orangish type of auras that came up from his throne. Could not that have been all over the earth? And that's actually, they were harvesting the energy of the Christ in his kingdom when he actually ruled the earth.
Sure it is. It's also possible that they get it in the mail.
No, I'm saying that's where the Antiquitech came from.
You didn't get my point.
You know,
I would say it's possible, but, you know,
I have no proof. I would just think that you would be overjoyed that you were one of those guys sitting in darkness in Sheol when Jesus showed up. And says, look, I'm going to give you a second chance, buddy.
I didn't believe. No, I didn't say I didn't believe in him, no.
All right.
It's just not in the same way that you do.
Right. Yeah. Let's not do the personal. I hate doing the personal. I really do.
Well, there are aspects, you know, like, yeah, I think there are aspects of what you say that we agree with and other aspects that we each have our own personal sort of take on things.
Yeah, but my saying is the empirical evidence. For instance, of those old maps that you came up with.
Yes, definitely there was a past civilization. Well, without
how do you attribute old maps to God?
It's because the reason is that Mr. Rowe, he's done several in reality extraction or extracting reality. I'm dyslexic.
Reality extraction. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. And he's done the old maps, and we can actually see where there are different castles and civilizations, even in the Arctic. And so you take a look at that. But listen, so now it's
how do you contribute that to God?
I'm trying to get to the point. So we can actually take a look at why people would put all of this stuff on all these maps throughout Africa, Asia, all these incredible stuff. And then we end up getting a thermal deep earth penetration of the Arctic ice wall along the Arctic. And now we're finding out that the maps that showed where these castles and these cities were in Antarctica and the land that they were on lines up with this deep penetrating radar in which Noah, or maybe it was the NASA took, which, by the way, once they realized their mistake, that they put the deep penetrating radar where the land was, and it matched up with these old maps, they quickly took it down. They go, oh my God, boom. So you don't even get a chance to know that now. But
the Peary's Reese map is the most famous and the oldest one.
Right. And, but I'm saying is the only way you can get, you take a look. Now, Matt Painter, you're a drywall guy and a painter. I was a drywall guy. You know how much energy it takes to put up a building or a home, or just like labor hours. You take a look at the thousands and thousands, probably tens of thousands of cities, hundreds of thousands of grand buildings, all of them different, all of them complex, with stuff that we can't even understand now. All over the earth, the canal systems, the star forts, which I believe were actually places where they actually stored up grain and food in case something happened. Or Jesus knew that once his thousand-year kingdom was over, there would be a power vacuum, and you would have these little Tartarians saying, hey, look, like Genghis Khan, this is Tartaria. This is our land. We're the worldwide empire. And the Chinese says, no, no. We are the son of God of the earth. We're the king of kings. And so he knew the power vacuums were going to open up. So I think that's one of the reasons he put the star forts, is so that each country would at least be able to defend themselves and feed themselves. But if you take a look at the energy, the amount of the resources and the energy, no way mankind could have built up this worldwide infrastructure if there was not a thousand years of peace, with a genius behind the whole thing saying, you know what, once I'm gone, it's all going to go to shit, and I got to prolong it for as much as possible until at least a Mad Painter gets on the scene during Satan.
You're putting it out there as though that we weren't capable of doing this. And us as a human race has the capacity to do these kind of things. Just because we're a war species right now doesn't mean the last time we were populating the earth, we were.
Oh, it might be on enough, you big feet.
A Mad Painter, you said yourself that mankind has not been at war except for about 7 years. That's all
That's us. Now, if you go back 2,000 years or 5,000 years or so, if you owned a car, they would have considered you a god.
5,000 years ago, the Assyrians were taking on the Egyptians, and then the Phoenicians took on them. And then the Assyrians took on them.
If you had a Piper Cub.
No, what I'm saying, Matt, is that there's no way that with the empirical evidence of the maps and all the stuff that we're digging out and all of the infrastructure, the canals, which turns out we're digging it out. In fact, take a look at the Panama Canal. They say, oh, it took us 16 years or whatever. 6,000 people died of malaria to dig out the Panama Canal, and that when they actually dug it out, what did they dug out? They dug out mud that filled in, because on the Panama Canal on either side is bedrock. So they dug it out all the way to bedrock. Basically, they dug out a bunch of jungle, rotten trees, and mud. And you go from one canal to the other, same story. They dig it out so far, they hit bedrock. There's another group that actually put that infrastructure in. I'm saying the second half of Christ's ministry was not only being crucified, dying for the sins of mankind, but setting up a worldwide infrastructure so that mankind could actually make it, so they could actually get to the point to where we're at right now, to where you're actually hearing, and the whole world is hearing what the good news is. And that's all these souls circulating back in. I know it's heresy, but all of these people from Sheol, where Jesus showed up, And he was a great light, and he proclaimed to them, look, this is the deal. They want it out. He goes, nope, you got a memory wipe. It's got to be free will. You're going to be born in a special time of grace, a purgatory, the little season of Satan. If you pass that test, you're going to get a straight up shot. Okay, you're in. You're eternal. I gotcha. I don't know. It's so simple to me. There's just so much. There are books, maps.
It's simple to you because you believe that he'd done all this.
Yeah, he saved our ass.
That's the only reason it's so simple to you.
It's all the evidence, man. It's all of it. It's why the secret societies have all covered up all of our history. It's the reason for all the lies. It's the reason, like Mr. Rowe said, where we're mutilating children, and people think it's okay. The whole damn world is upside down.
I'll agree with that, man.
It's we're in a period of it's purgatory. If you do something like no good deed goes unpunished. Do something good, Ahmad. Watch what happens to you.
Things good.
I know. But then look what happens. It's not like, you know, you got to sacrifice. It cost you. It's like a system that's set up. I don't exactly know how to explain it. But anyways, I went off the rails tonight. I'm going to do better.
No, you didn't.
Well, I had figured on going through. I got 70 pages of stuff. I mean, did you know we had a mini ice age in the 13th
yes.
century?
Yes.
So you mean to tell me that the Arctic and the Antarctic were not frozen over then? Why are there land bridges, four land bridges to the Arctic? Take a look at the Arctic continental shelves. And there's like 40, 60 miles of passageways from each of the continents just below the ice. So something happened.
Also, periods where the north, what they call the Northwest Passage, is open, where a ship can sail around.
Yeah, that's right.
See, they think this is all unusual, and it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're in a and that's the only reason I'm on the air now, because that's the big thing. This is a paradigm shift. If what I've come across, which, by the way, I'm not the first one. You got to go back to Exploring Tartaria. She's on YouTube. She actually breaks out what the Catholic Church is.
I believe the Tartarian Empire was real, man.
Yeah, but it's actually a counterfeit that took over once the power vacuum opened up. These guys grabbed it. They were numerous.
All
they did for 1,000 years. Think about what Jesus said about the Great Wall of Tartaria, the Great Wall of China. Oh, I can't separate the two. Let's do a jobs program. Make them work together. Then we'll separate them. And, you know, they didn't have high IQs, okay? They were in hurts, like little grass huts. They bumped bellies a lot. They bred a lot. And then once Jesus left, one rose up, and his name was Genghis Khan. And he goes, I rule now. This is my kingdom. And then the war started. No sooner did Satan rise up and Christ's kingdom basically get set aside or get cloaked in darkness in the North Pole. Wars happened everywhere. And I think when Satan came up and he looked, wow, Jesus didn't build factories and rubber plants and all the rest. He built like buildings, and he was like into agriculture, horticulture. He was into arts and music and stuff. This looks like a glorified Roman Empire. I'm going to pick it right up. Yeah, this is the Roman Empire at, you know, 110 AD with Claudius, and we'll bring in the popes, and that's when the Holy Roman Church came in, and Justine the Martyr, and all the rest of them. I think he picked it up right from then. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to do a cancel culture. The thousand-year reign of Christ never happened. You never were. You never had a bank account. You got no driver's license. You had no kingdom, not acknowledging none of it. I'm going to pick it up from there and go on. And if you actually take a look at what Christ's kingdom was, it was wholesome work. It was going to great cathedrals, organs played, probably frequencies harvested. People were singing in the Spirit of God. They built buildings, grand buildings, each one trying to outdo the other one. Well, I'm going to build St. Thomas a really great, mansion. Big doors, glorified bodies. Or, I'm going to outdo that cathedral. I'm going to build it twice as high, which was exactly what men creatures would do if the edict came down from the Messiah. Look, I want to leave a signature. I want to leave a testimony of my kingdom, which is the build out infrastructure of the world. And so I'm thinking, yeah, that's my thought. Anyways, I'm talking too much. What do we got? 14 minutes left. Go ahead, Mr. Rowe. Somebody interject here. Give me a break.
Well, there was a legacy of something. And I kind of think that, when I look back at some of the old texts that have been preserved and digitized, is very interesting. Because, there are other races that were sharing this world with at the time. And, maybe humanity is just by nature, or I should say Homo sapiens, are by nature a little bit aggressive. Because if we're fighting amongst ourselves, and we do breed pretty well, gestation period is only 9 months. So, yeah, look at our population explosion.
Yeah, maybe that's the other thing. Mr. Rubber, you talk about other races. So we got the Bigfoot. We know about the Bigfoot.
Right.
What are they? We know about the dogmen. In fact, right. Zen Garcia's talked about a whole island that were full of dogmen. So you can see in Christ's reign, when he went, you can see he could send a delegation and he could tell the dogmen, look, no more snatching human women and breeding with them. Okay.
Saint Christopher. If you look up right. Saint Christopher, it's a cyanocephaly is what the name right. is.
I'm not going to exterminate you, even though you're a hybrid or whatever. You stay among yourself. Don't be ripping off any more women. Don't be breeding anymore. Stick on your island. I think he did it with the redheaded giants in the Northwest. In North America, I think he went to them and says, you're not going to be ripping off the people anymore, raping the women, all the rest. Stick to yourselves. You stick here. I won't come in with my armies and knock the shit out of you. But if you think about it, when Christ actually took over the earth with his thousand-year kingdom, I think it was as wild as Jurassic Park. We've all seen the murals of you've seen them, Mr. Rowe. Of guys that look like they were riding dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah. Some of these books do depict some of the wildlife that was pretty interesting. Like, there were these creatures, I forget what the name of them. They look like little mini alligators with wings. And, and people will regale these things to mythology and, they were just, making stuff up. No, they were trying actually, on the contrary, to be as accurate as possible. These were
and there was like manacores that had the face of a man with the teeth of a lion and the
in
body
some of
like
the work. Yeah. In some of the works that they documented, for official sources, like for the king and all that, they made sure to be as accurate as possible. So
that's right. So I think when Christ showed up in the known world was basically Rome, that I'm thinking that China was actually a small outpost. They were barely able to survive. It wasn't some billion people out there, not at all. I think all around the world, each population was fighting for survival.
What and if the Tartarians were like maybe a different species?
Who knows?
We've heard about Homo capensis and, some of the other, there's, everybody knows Neanderthal. And then, of course, we're Homo sapien. And then there's Homo capensis, which are they're still among us, and they can walk among you and you won't even realize it. And then there's, I forget what the name of them is, for the ones with have slightly elongated skulls. Supposedly, I think Rockefeller was one of them, if you look at his skull and those elongated skulls. So there's a couple that are still around that are highly intelligent. But what if the Tartarians were yet a whole different species of sapien that are, you know, I mean, maybe that is part of the hidden knowledge.
Right, and my thinking is that what Jesus did, he says, you know, I'm not going to exterminate you. Right, I'm not going to exterminate the dog men. Stick to yourselves, the red-headed giants in North America. I'm not going to exterminate you. But then others that were like monster beings or large snakes that were like interbred with Nephilim blood, or like the manticore that were hunting men, I'm sure he dispatched St. Bartholomew. There's a big dragon up there. He keeps killing these people, eating them. Go out there and snap his neck, you know, cut his head off, clean that up. And so he would actually do what was the second command of God to Adam, which was be to subdue the earth. So without Christ's actual second kingdom coming, subduing the earth, building out the buildings, the infrastructure, the canals, the farmlands, we wouldn't even be able to make it this far. That's my whole point. That's my new kind of Christian doctrine. You can call it a heresy. And I think even the Bigfoot, the Nephilim actually bred with the great ape, and they bred the Bigfoot. And I'm thinking that Christ actually went to, or delegations went to, like the giants of Patagonia or the Bigfoot, and says, look, don't kill the men creatures. I won't send a group after you and exterminate you. I'm not going to do it. Even maybe the dwarves and all the other chimeras. He says, I'm not here on an extermination campaign. I'm going to let things play out. And by the way, any of you all that believe in me and believe what the Father's done, you're also saved. People of the Canaanite religion, like that tooth shape-shifting guy I saw on PBS, had all the spiked teeth, which I couldn't believe. Or even that guy. So, yeah. But anyways, this is what I'm going to get into with understanding conspiracy on my next show. And I think it's going to be pre-recorded. But this is where my energy's at now. And I got like 70 pages of note. I could go on. I could just look at anything right now. Let me just take a look. Every nation kept the Sabbath. Most people don't know that. That you can actually go, and in their language, they actually talk about the Sabbath. So that's the other thing Christ would have done with all the different kingdoms. He would have, look, you can't murder. You can't rape. You can't go and take somebody else's wife. You can't rip people off. You can't be the homosexual. These are the laws. The missionaries, they get to walk freely. Yeah, if you want some Buddhist missionaries that got another point of free speech and they want to walk around and talk all that the Buddhist stuff, okay, fine. But look, free speech, straight up. And so it says he ruled with a rod of iron, which means he would have made sure that the basic laws of God, which we know as the Ten Commandments, would have been done, which would have stopped the wars. He would have been easily able to bring 1,000 years of peace. I mean, he could have sent a delegation to the Emperor of China and said, look, the Son of God, the King of Kings, is now ruling the earth. And the Emperor would say, well, I thought I was the King of Kings. How big an army does he have? And Jesus' delegation would say, look, let's just do it this way. Bring out your biggest dragon. We'll bring out our strongest warrior. And they'll rip his neck off. And then we don't got to do the man dance. And then just sign the contract. No homosexuality. You know, money is money. No images on coins, which also we didn't get into the coins. It turns out that the coins are dated. Turns out the statutes that were making images of other things were actually put into on the outside of the churches and inside the churches. There was actually in the 1500s, a whole group of people, all they did was make statues. And all they did, I'm talking about like Mother Mary statues, holy statues, and they stuck them in churches, which would according to Old Testament, would not have been allowed. But they did it anyways, and they made good statues. And so we're finding out that the 1500s was basically called the Renaissance, the Age of Science. This is when the real secret societies, everything was getting on board. They had the money, they had the Catholic Church, they had the infrastructure. And then we all pretty much know what happened after the 1500s. Well, at least that part of history we do got. But before that, no. We got the coins. Anyways, yeah, the Age of Grace, Satan's little season. Oh, even the mud floods. So it talks about the windows of heaven. And so if you believe there's a firmament, the Bible talks about that there's windows of heaven. Well, imagine if you open up, imagine if the firmament is full of water. You're talking about like a dome. And you open up like over the city of Philadelphia. You're a god or you are an angel. And there's judgment that comes down on a place like Philadelphia. You know, flood those bastards. They really turned evil. All righty, we'll take care of Philadelphia. They open up a window, which tons and tons of water, like stream down, and then pound into a mountain or a ground. That would create what you see today in like places that are flooded in South America, India, whatever, where cars are buried in mud, homes. You would see a mud flood. All right, that's the judgment on them. God, shut the window now. All right, that's buried. Is that
well, you got about a minute left there, Jacker.
Oh, yeah. So, Antovium Formicaoka. Anyways, his book is History, Fiction or Science. He's a Russian mathematician. And he says, the whole timeline of history, all the stuff the Jesuit wrote, in the 16th and 17th century, he basically says, it's all bullshit. Bullshit. So anyways, this is the Hijacker with the Mad Painter, Mr. Rowe. Looks like that's it. Okay, Hijacker, over and out. Take care, guys.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
What has just been said of me is true. I offer no argument nor dispute the simple facts, but they hardly begin to cover the scope of my true crimes. Honor requires more than admission. So I offer a full confession and the whole truth. For far too long, I failed to recognize my own hypocrisy. I ignored my own cowardice, conveniently hiding behind a position of political compromise. And for what? To retain the meager wealth and rank that men desire. So I come before you a condemned man for having finally stood up to injustice. My shame and regret is that I failed to do so before it arrived in my own court. We supply the armies. We build the roads. We employ the nation. Still, we remain silent while our coffers are emptied and our freedoms eroded. There will be times where we are powerless to injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest.